Representative David Steffen has a piece of legislation that he intends to introduce. I don't think it's been officially introduced yet, that aims to try to do something. I'm not sure if it's going to have the impact everybody hopes, but Anthony Lococo from Institute for Reforming Government has taken a look at the proposal. It mirrors Utah's law, and so we do have some information on that. What is it supposed to do, Anthony? And does it pass the very important constitutional test?
Thanks for having me on. Look, you want to talk about a kitchen table issue? This is what parents are concerned about. I know it's an issue. I'm a father of four kids. This is a kitchen table issue in my household. Everyone knows the internet is a sewer. I mean, it's good for a lot of things, but it's a sewer. Everyone knows, you know, there's study after study showing this is having a negative effect on our kids. So the question is, you know, are we just going to continue with this Wild West approach, or can we try and take some reasonable measures to protect our kids from giant social media companies that at the end of the day are monetizing addiction? I mean, and that's really what's happening. And from predatory behavior from some people who frequent the internet. So, you know, I think Representative Steffen deserves a lot of credit for stepping forward on this issue. Some very simple measures that have been taken in Utah that we could potentially see duplicated in Wisconsin, things like setting default hours for social media usage, verifying age. These are things that put tools in the hands of parents. I wouldn't put this at, you know, some people are asking good questions. They're concerned that this is going to get in between parents and their kids. You know, that's not how I view this legislation at all. This is about putting tools in the hands of parents so that it's not just them versus these giant social media corporations. And you raised the First Amendment. Vicki, you know, I've been on your show many times talking about the importance of preserving First Amendment rights. I think people shouldn't be attacked for raising these questions. But there's an important distinction here. The government gets itself in trouble when it's trying to police what is said. You know, it tries to ban particular viewpoints, let's say. It's an entirely different thing when the government is setting regulations on where speech takes place, what time speech takes place, how speech may take place. Under Supreme Court case law, there's a much lower threshold. And I'll just give you one example. The quintessential instance of where speech takes place is a public park. Well, public parks have hours, right? Public parks may have noise regulations. Social media is the new digital public square. So I think, you know, this is a conversation that needs to be had if we're interested in protecting our kids.
Here's when as I was looking through this, it would require age verification to ensure that restrictions are placed on accounts held by kids. It would protect kids during the overnight hours by establishing a nighttime curfew on their accounts. This would be the social media company would have to provide this, not that parents can click an option box. Because if you ever try to go figure out how you can utilize all the so-called services of Facebook, you will get lost clicking around and not quite figure out how to get done what you need to get done. It would also protect kids by restricting the type of advertising and direct messaging that could be targeted at minor accounts. As I read deeper into the explanation of the legislation, Representative Steffen said that direct messages from unapproved people would not be permitted on children's accounts. I think that's huge. There's been a huge amount of child predation that takes place using the direct message features of social media, Instagram, Facebook, Facebook Messenger. I can tell you that I actually know people whose children have been contacted by predators that way. And then it would impose penalties on social media companies for refusal to comply. I don't have a problem with this as I'm looking at it. I just want to make sure that the devil's not in the details, Anthony. This looks to me not too dissimilar from the rules that I have to abide by every time the microphone goes hot on this radio station. We hold an FCC license and we are required to oblige an enormous set of rules regarding content, specifically content that could be heard by children. So, I mean, we have to take tests every 6 months, I think it is, in order to make sure that we know what the rules are and what we can and cannot say during certain hours because children could be listening. So as long as it's enforceable, and it doesn't step on my ability to speak, I don't have a problem with this at all. This is kids. I don't think kids, you know, are if they're not, if they can't vote and they can't own a gun and they can't drink, I'm not sure that I think they should have unfettered access to the sewer that is the internet.
And, you know, there are, as I mentioned, study after study showing the effect on self-esteem, suicide rates, and the like. But, you know, the parents who are out there, they don't need the studies because they're seeing it in their own lives. You know, my colleagues at IRG have traveled thousands of miles across the state holding listening sessions with parents, with administrators, and they're hearing this social media topic come up time and time again. How can we protect our kids? You know, as you point out, I mean, it's kind of a web, trying to figure out what your kids have access to. And I think your example of the radio station is a good one. I mean, that's another channel of communication where we're used to seeing reasonable regulations. Change is difficult. We're used to, as I mentioned, it being sort of the Wild West online. That's because the internet is still relatively new. And people should be able to come forward and say, we need to have a conversation about whether our kids are really safe getting online with all manner of, you know, whether it's literal predators or just, you know, companies who are willing to exploit vulnerable minors. So, again, it's different, totally different conversation from when the government is trying to regulate what can be said. And I think some people are going to miss that distinction. This is just about saying, what are the ground rules for this channel of conversation, just like we have ground rules for other channels of conversation.
You know, and it won't deal with content. I bet you there are parents out there who want it to deal with content. But it isn't going to deal with content. That's going to be on you as a parent to take some ownership of what your children are accessing. I mean, you know, we had rules where television couldn't be on more than a couple of hours in our house when I was a kid. Now, this was in Mayberry days, practically, compared to what it is now. But my parents were concerned about us kids having access to too much TV. And there was reasonably wholesome stuff on television for the most part. So, and the content, you can watch this show, you can't watch this show. So that's on parents. I don't see anything in the legislation that would allow content restrictions, even though I think some people want to see that. I wish there were a way we could go after the behemoth of these companies, because competition is very difficult when you've got what amounts to a tech cartel in operation, but that's not what this is going to do. How would the enforcement strategy work real quickly? How would you be able to get the companies to comply? What is it? I think it's a $70-$100 a day violation per violation.
Right. So as you mentioned, the devil's in the details. We don't have bill text, but in Utah, for example, they have authorized, my understanding, government officials to bring actions, lawsuits, and have authorized in some circumstances private causes of actions, meaning that parents whose children are harmed by the practices of social media companies that don't obey can go into court and get some penalties imposed on those companies. And, you know, I think it's important that you're seeing this pop up in states across the country, because I think the more you see these laws arise, the more social media companies are going to do the calculus and realize they need to change their practices across the board. Sort of the party days are over, and it's time to get a little bit more responsible about what we're putting in front of our kids.
So, and this would, the way this would work is that direct communication, this is, I think, going to be the most important thing, that direct communication with children could not take place without pre-approval of the parent.
I haven't seen the bill. I think in Utah, yeah, either pre-approval or they have to at least be approved as a friend, or it depends on the social media company. Some kind of an ability for a parent to, as well, come in and access that account.
Well, I think it's interesting. I mean, I think it's a good first step. I don't know if it breaks the addiction of social media for kids. That's just turning it off. And I know that's hard. It seems like it's easy. Just turn off the television. My parents tried to do that. We just went to our friend's house and watched TV. It was not nearly as easy as it sounds to just simply turn it off once your kid has already gone headfirst into it. I look forward to the legislation being introduced. We hope to have Representative Stefan on the program soon. Anthony, thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks. Bye.
Great to have you on the program. From Institute for Reforming Government,